The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but
last week, Martin Shimura was ranting about the college football playoff and teams like SMU and Boise State, maybe Arizona State, we didn't really talk about them extensively, getting into the college football playoff field and getting a first round bye. Now, that is not the case for SMU. They'll be taking on Penn State in the first round. But Boise State and Arizona State did, in fact, get first-round byes when the committee released their playoff rankings, their final rankings, and the playoff bracket yesterday. Chu, I imagine you saw the college football playoff bracket. Were you as frustrated yesterday about Boise State and Arizona State getting those first-round byes as you were last week when you were thinking it could happen?
Probably just the problem with Boise, because I don't think they belong in the top four. Now, I watched Arizona State dismantle Iowa State. They looked the part. They had one of their better players
Scatabo
who didn't play in the game.
Oh, right. They lost their wide receiver.
Yeah. But they look good. I'll be interested to see what they do. I think it was the right decision in booting Alabama, because SMU did play Clemson very well. So I really don't have a problem with it.
Really?
I just don't like how they I just don't like how they come to the Final Four, because I would say Arizona State, yes, Oregon, Georgia, and my other number one, Notre Dame can't go in, right, Jen? Because they don't play a conference championship game.
It can't be a top four, correct. There are some people who think that Notre Dame will be in the title game based on this bracket. I saw a lot of college football experts projecting Notre Dame to be in the college football national title game.
And I think that matches up with the FPI, basically, on strength and opponents and like how they think, how likely they are. They have one of the best percent odds to actually end up in the final.
Here's my beef with yesterday's bracket, guys. Why is it so much harder for the number one team than it is for, say, I don't know, I'll throw it out there, the number six team? Oregon and Penn State played head-to-head in the Big Ten championship game. I don't think it was as close as it ended up looking. I thought that Oregon was the better team out there. Drew Aller threw the interception late on the sideline. That ultimately sealed the deal as Oregon went on to just, you know, move the chains one time and they won the game. Penn State is the sixth seed because they're the second Big Ten team. They couldn't be much higher than that. I guess you could have argued they could have been the five, but the committee said that because Texas was ahead of Penn State headed into this in the Penn ultimate rankings, Chew, they didn't feel like Penn State had done enough to jump them. So Penn State has Boise State first round home game at Beaver Stadium. If they beat Boise State, they have SMU. If they beat SMU they move on to Boise State. That to me feels, and I know I'm not trying to minimize any of these teams' accomplishments this season, but that to me feels like a hell of a path compared to Oregon, which gets the first round bye and has to face the winner of Ohio State and Tennessee. Am I wrong in feeling like the number one team in the country got the toughest road in this playoff bracket?
Yeah, because I could see them playing Texas in the semis, right? I mean, Texas is going to beat Clemson. I don't think Clemson's that great.
No, they're not. They snuck in by winning on that field goal. It was like a 50-plus yard field goal to beat SMU, to win the ACC. And you got to put them in because they're a conference winner. But you see how the committee feels about them. They gave them the 12.
What if you, Jen, let me just spitball this. What if you took the top four, 1-4, and number one gets to tell you where they want to be?
Like you're proposing that the number one gets
all right,
to pick
Oregon,
their path?
You got the first pick. You want to play Clemson, Texas, Tennessee, Ohio State, SMU, Penn State, or Indiana Notre Dame?
This is
number two.
This is a famous Mark Tauscher proposal for all playoffs where you get to pick your path. It's hard for me to figure out like what's the right way to do this, because if you eliminate the buys being to the conference champions that are the highest ranked, like, you probably smooth that out a little bit and just give it to, like, the top four ranked teams get a bye. Because I think I saw somebody tweet it out. It basically makes better games and better situations. But, like, should the committee be looking at it? Well, if we rank XYZ team here, it actually looks pretty hard for Oregon versus Penn State. Like, isn't their job to rank the teams the way that the parameters are set, and then how it falls is how it falls?
Yeah, and some of this is because those teams, Boise State and Arizona State, have to get the first round byes as four of the conference champs. And so I agree with you. I don't know what the solution is other than what Chewy is saying, which is, hey, you're the number one team. Congratulations on that. As a reward, pick your path. You know, choose your own adventure.
I suppose.
You could.
Just based upon,
go ahead, Chew.
Just based upon the eye test, who do you think, and take the, you know, the conference winners out of it, who do you think should be in the top four? Oregon? Notre Dame?
It's probably
Penn State,
for me. Yep, go ahead.
Texas, right?
It's probably for me Oregon, Texas, Notre Dame, Georgia. Those are probably for me. Like, if I had to go down to Pottawatomie today and they said, put some money on some teams, those are probably the teams that I would put money on because I've watched them play and I think they're the toughest teams. You know, one of the big conversations, guys, is none of these teams are perfect, right? You don't have a juggernaut team.
No.
I mean, even as good as Oregon has played, we watched that Wisconsin game, Oregon, and Wisconsin had them on the ropes until the fourth quarter just because they played really good defense. Again, I don't know what the perfect solution is. It just, when I'm yesterday, I'm standing in Happy Valley and I'm interviewing James Franklin and I ask him, do you see this as a favorable path? And he says, to be honest with you, we haven't broken down film on SMU yet to be able to tell you whether or not they're a, you know, favorable opponent. Okay, fair enough. Good answer. Diplomatic. I appreciate it. But my eye test is telling me Penn State should be able to. Again, this is Drew Aller contingent. They should be able to move pretty easily, especially with that defense that they have, through the first two rounds.
In terms of outcome, and maybe this is James Franklin and Penn State history here, wouldn't that be the least shocking upset to happen in that first week of the playoffs? Just with
what, SMU
history.
Penn State?
Yes, like SMU winning that game.
Yeah, because James Franklin can't win a big game.
Exactly.
When's the last big game he's won? He's never won a big game.
It's like Ohio State 2000 something, like 17. I don't know. Again, we talked about it on College Football Live on Friday. I think he's 1-5 against top five team, 1-7 or something crazy like that. He's won one game against top five teams in his career as head coach. So, Chew, right now today, who would you pick if you had to go down to Pottawatomie? I'm going to give you $100. Who would you pick to be your national champion?
Ohio State.
What? Really?
Ohio State. They played Oregon tough. They choked in that game. They probably should have won.
It was bad clock management at the end of the game. Yes, that was a big deal.
They choked against Michigan, where they were clearly the better team.
Yes, that was very, very bad.
Right? Well, Jen, let me ask you this peripheral question. If Ohio State loses to Oregon, do they fire Ryan Day?
I said after the Michigan game that I thought they needed to make a deep playoff run in order for him to keep his job. It does not bode well that he has to go up against the number one team should they get a win in week one in the first round. He's such a good coach, guys.
I mean, is it just because of the money? Is it just because of
the money? Well, yeah, what did I tell you? His buyout is $35
million.
Yeah, I mean, and I told you, in this NIL day and age, programs are not interested in spending that money on buyouts when they could spend that money to build their roster. So I will tell you this, though. It was a $20 million roster this season that lost to Michigan. So did not work out all that well. Joshy, who you got? Who would you take? If I gave you $100 right now, you could triple your money on some of these picks. Who would you take to win the national title?
I think it's Oregon. I think they've proven themselves to be the far and away leader, and then the next one I would pick after that would be Notre Dame. Just because the way their schedule shakes out there, I think being on that bottom half is clearly a benefit to whoever comes out. And I think having the bye is going to be bigger than people are accounting for right now. Like, having that extra game off, especially for young kids like that, is going to be a
huge
benefit.
They don't play until New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Those teams are go ahead.
Are the quarterfinals home field, or is that a neutral site?
Home field advantage. First time ever. In fact, when I was at Penn State yesterday, the game against SMU will be the first December game at Beaver Stadium with fans. Now, remember, in the COVID year, 2020, there were some December games because the season started so late, and then the Big Ten played like six games. It pushed into December. In 45 years, 1979 was the last time that Beaver Stadium hosted a game in December with fans in the stands. So it'll be a great environment, right? Like, that'll be cool to have Tennessee and Clemson. Who's hosting there? It's Ohio State. The game's in Columbus. Yeah. And Texas is hosting, and then Notre Dame is hosting. And what a game that'll be. Yeah. Notre Dame, Indiana. What? How many miles separate those two?
Google it.
It's like, I'm guessing here. It's like 200, like maybe less.
Don't sleep on Indiana, I'm telling you.
Oh, geez.
Your don't sleeps have been so off this year. It is preposterous. You can't keep throwing out don't sleep. You've lost don't sleep rights.
Let me just say this. Did I use don't sleep on Atlanta?
Did you use it famously?
Yes.
It ain't over yet.
I'm still in a coma.
He's like Sleeping Beauty over here.
I'm hibernating.
Waiting for Prince Charming to come and wake him up. Okay?
I just hope there's no tape of me saying don't sleep on the Jets because they're sleeping.
you did use that also. You predicted Aaron Rodgers would be MVP.
You did do that. Thank you for reminding me of that, Joshy. Wow, he's right. You don't have don't sleep on rights anymore. They've been revoked.
Yeah. You next offseason you can use don't sleep. Until then, you're out of
don't
sleep.
No, I need another term.
800-990-3776 if you want to weigh in on the college football playoff bracket. Who you think has the best chance and best road, best path to the national championship, 800-990-3776. We talk about Professional Construction Inc. here on the show because they are exceptional at what they do. I should know, we've had them over to our house a number of times to help us with remodeling projects or home additions or just the things that we can't handle on our own. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing great work on your projects. Go to their website. It's professionalconstructioninc.com. Professionalconstructioninc.com is where you can see some pictures of jobs that they have done. Get some inspiration of jobs they can do for you. And you can tell them that Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. Yeah, right, Ben? Back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
She got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
But I'm thinking... It's time for a change. Get out of the lane.
Oh, look at that. The New York Jets lost again. I, for one, am devastated. It's a terrible turn of events, that Jets organization. They were on the cusp, Joshy. They were right there. They were going to turn things around.
All
they were
going to
take the league by storm. That didn't happen. Nope. Aaron Rodgers was asked yesterday about the Jets missing the playoffs again. I believe it is 14, right? So that's not even a baker's dozen. What do we call it once you hit 14?
Plus one. They are the only team in the past 14 years not to make the playoffs in all of professional American sports.
And yesterday when Aaron Rodgers was asked about that stretch of time, that stretch of futility, here's what he had to say.
Organization now, it's 14 straight years without making the playoffs. That's almost hard to do.
What's the question?
Well, can you reflect on that and just why?
I mean, I've been here. I've started 1 year, so
right.
I'm a part of it for 1 year. It's disappointing.
Well, Joshy, we're going to give you the opportunity to do a little tap dance on the old Jets grave.
What an absolute leader there from Aaron Rodgers. Instead of taking the opportunity to say, I came here to change the Jets, to make it a winning culture, to instill a winning culture moving forward, I'm disappointed for both my teammates and the loyal fan base that I failed to take the Jets to the playoffs. He says, well, I really only started 1 year, so yeah, I'm disappointed. Like, that is the exact reason why he is not any better than he was when he left the Packers. It's a personality thing. It's a not dedicated to football. It's pointing the fingers everywhere else. It just makes me very happy that Brian Gutekunst had the gumption to draft Jordan Love and set a course forward when he did, because look where there would be 3 wins. You're a 3-win football team with all that talent. It's embarrassing. And like for him to not reflect at all, I failed. I didn't do what was expected of me. It's just 1 year. What do you want me to do? The 13 others are someone else's fault. Like, be a man up.
So what now, though? I mean, the Jets, they have to get rid of him. They don't want him back, guys.
They do not want him back.
Who wants him? Especially after hearing that. If he's going to take no accountability, what locker room is that going to work?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, Joshy, if you take no accountability but you win games, no one gives a rip.
Right.
They take you. But it's the combination of, and to be fair, more so, not winning games. You're not the difference maker you once were. You cannot drag an aging roster or a struggling roster past the finish line, past the goal line. You're not that guy anymore.
Right.
And to your point, the way that this roster was constructed was in large part because of him. Uh-huh. He, whether he wants to admit it or not, demanded or asked for certain guys to be on the team last year, which put them behind as far as getting other talent assimilated to the culture, to the roster, to all of it. And so they are where they are, and in part because of him. And you're right. Yesterday he had an opportunity to say that this year's disappointment, at the very least, is on him.
But the ball's in his court. He's not going anywhere good, right? He's not going to a good team. So it's up to him if he wants to go to a bad team.
I don't.
Right?
Do
you
want to
go
imagine.
Play for the Giants?
So here's
do you
the thing.
Wanna
go why do you bring in a veteran quarterback? Right? You bring him in for leadership.
Close.
You bring him in. Like, I'm even seeing what's going on in Minnesota with Sam Darnold, and they're going, who's going to pay Sam Darnold? They have the Daniel Jones situation. They obviously have the J.J. McCarthy situation. Sam Darnold is a leader. Like, if you put him and J.J. McCarthy together, does Sam Darnold want to start? Obviously. But would he mentor J.J. McCarthy through his first few years starting in the league? I believe emphatically yes. Are you getting that from Aaron Rodgers? Do you bring him in to mentor some of the top quarterbacks, a Dylan Gabriel? You draft Dylan Gabriel and you bring Aaron Rodgers in to guide him and show him how to be a great quarterback in the league, how to handle the stressors and the responsibility of running a franchise? Do you?
Yeah, but bad teams are still going to want him. Bad teams will still want him. You're going to tell me the Raiders wouldn't take him? Of course they would. What about the Browns if they're done with, the air guy? What's his name?
Deshaun Watson. Is that who you're talking about?
Yes. I mean, wouldn't you agree that bad teams will still want Aaron Rodgers?
Is that the only nickname that I have ever given someone that stuck?
Like, the air humper? Yeah, that was one of your better.
I don't know how many teams are going to be in the position to bring in Aaron Rodgers. And maybe someone tries to do the draft a guy and have 1 year of. But like is Aaron Rodgers going to want that? Because that's going to be a bad team.
That's what I'm saying. It's in his court.
Like, the Jets worked because they were underperforming at quarterback but had so much talent. So you could at least make a case for it. Like, the Carolina Panthers, why? What's Aaron Rodgers going to do there? What's he going to do with the Browns? What's he going to do with the Raiders? Like,
well, I can tell you, the Browns fans are probably looking at it like, he's still got it in him, and we still have a great roster. We can make this work. Even though if you put the film on of this year, not so sure. But bad teams will want him, so it's up to him. Do you want to go and play so you don't go out this way for a potential 3-14 team? Because that's all he's getting. He's not getting anywhere else. Let me ask you this. Is he going to get a TV deal, Jen?
He's been on the record saying he has no interest in joining the media. He's been on the record saying he has no interest in joining any sort of broadcast.
Cornered himself out, too.
We got to take a break. Rob Domofsky is coming up next. We will ask him many things about the Green Bay Packers, but maybe we can also pick his brain on whether or not he thinks Aaron Rodgers will play in the NFL next season. Josh, you put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll as well. Do you think Aaron Rodgers will play next season or will be on an NFL roster next season? Let's even open it up a little bit wider for the guy. Take a break. Be right back after this.
We need a new intro for this year, though.
All right, we'll work on it.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Look, I would suspect that we don't see Malik Willis throw the ball down the field a whole lot, especially early, but it would not surprise me if we got back to more of the quick West Coast stuff.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
It's Rob Domofsky.
This better be a great segment.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Lots of stuff to get to around the NFL related to the Green Bay Packers. Do they still have something to play for in the final three games of the season? But before we get to that, Rob Domofsky, we just had a conversation about Aaron Rodgers. We just had a conversation about the way he responded to an inquiry about the, you know, 14 years of futility, postseason futility in New York, and how he said, well, I've only been here for 1 year. Josh, he says, take a little responsibility for your role in the team's struggles this year, which brought us to this question. Will he be on an NFL roster next season?
Oof. I'm going to say no. And I'm going to say that I know it only takes one team, right? There's 32 of them and it only takes one. But I'm going to say that the league retires him. But that he paints it as, you know, it's his choice.
That's good stuff.
Interesting. Rob, is it time for them to go out and get a number one receiver? Because you look around. I mean, Jaden Reed is their top receiver, but he's 57th in the league when it comes to catches. And he only played 25 snaps in the game. Now, granted, I know they had 45, but why only 25?
That's the question of today's availability with Matt LaFleur and in the locker room. Because since Jaden Reed's six catch, I think it was 113-yard game against the Lions the first time, he has a combined 73 yards receiving in the next four games, including a big fat donut in the rematch in Detroit. What has happened to Jaden Reed is the story of today at Lambeau Field. And you know, we should have asked him after the game, should have asked the floor about it, and there was so much other stuff going on. That we just, you know, I don't know, just never got to it, I guess. But, what's happening there is a huge question. But to answer your overarching question, Chewy, about a number one receiver, I think this is, you know, of all the benefits that they talked about all offseason, and they got tired of us asking that very question, you know, of all the benefits of it is, you know, it's harder to game plan and blah, blah, blah. Sometimes you need a guy who, when everyone in the stadium knows that the ball is going to him, they still throw it to him and he can still catch it. But look, I mean, they're not going to draft a receiver in the first round, right? I mean, that's an absolute given. So where, do you find one, you know, on your own roster and develop them, or how do you get them? Because I think we're headed down the path of a pass rusher or cornerback. You know, as a high draft pick this year, based on, you know, what we've seen and based on what we know of their history, that they only two offensive players they've drafted in the first round in the last however many years is Jordan Love and last year Jordan Morgan.
Well, how much, and this is what we were discussing earlier today, Rob, how much are we supposed to just like give Matt LaFleur, who is creating the offensive game plan with the offensive coordinator, the benefit of the doubt? Because we knew that if Josh Jacobs was going to get a heavy load, and he has been getting more touches in the receiving game as well, right? It's not just him running the ball. We knew that that was going to compromise some of the numbers for the wide receivers. And we said, Matt LaFleur will prove his mettle as a coach if he can keep these pass catchers in check and not let anybody become disgruntled, like Chu said back in his day, was always a threat, right? These guys getting upset because they weren't getting the ball, and then they'd pout a little bit, and then Holmgren would say, don't worry, I'll get you next time. Like, so should we just trust the process, essentially, with Matt LaFleur? Like, some days it's going to be Watson, some days it's going to be Reed, a lot of times it's going to be Josh Jacobs, and the pieces will fall where they fall.
Well, yes, Jen, but Chewy made the point when he said how many snaps they had last week. I mean, I don't know if it was 45 or 50. I mean, what are you going to do with that, right? Like, you better convert third downs more. But it's the chicken or the egg. Do you need a number one receiver to be able to move the chains and get first downs, and then, you know, therefore you have more plays to run? I mean, their play count is terribly low, you know, at an offensive average. I mean, you remember, there was one year I remember where Mike McCarthy said their goal was 75 offensive plays, which was probably unattainable. But
that's like fast. That's like fast pace, high tempo. Yeah. Like when you talk about college football, like some of the
But you shouldn't have 45 or 50, right? Like, you should be closer to 70. 75 is probably unattainable. But I mean, you have to getting first downs and accumulating plays solved a lot of these issues, and they just haven't been able to do that too often this year. And my guess is that's what the answer will be, you know, today when we ask LaFleur, you know, how come Jaden Reed only got one ball thrown his way and no catches? It's going to be, well, we need to run more plays, and he's right, but that's his job. So, you know, that it all starts there for me.
But part of the problem is, Rob, you know, why you have 45 plays, because the defense gives up 27 first downs. You can't flip and do that. And I like to read, like, the team stats, and that kind of paints a picture for me with a game. If you look at these stats, Rob, I would say Detroit probably went one by 14. I mean, they had under 300 yards, where Detroit had almost 400, 45 plays to 76 first down. It just smelled of like a 14-point win, not a 3-point win.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I guess that tells you, you know, for the glass half full people, and my glass is pretty much empty right now. But it tells you that they're closer than it looks, based on the fact they've lost what, 6 out of 7 to the Lions, and you know, the Lions have kind of become the biggest problem for the Packers over the last couple of years. But, you know, whether you lose by 14 or lose by 3, does it really matter?
No, not really. But it's just,
and here's the other thing, Chewy, too. Like, I was thinking about this. When have they beaten a good team lately? You know, like, they've swept the AFC South, which has one winning team, right? Houston. Then a bunch of terrible teams. If they beat Seattle, you know, that's probably a decent win, 8-5, but they swept that division, which has a bunch of mediocre teams, you know, Arizona, San Francisco, they beat the Rams, and the Rams, I think, are 7-6 maybe right now. So it's not like they've got a ton of, you know, their strength of victory is probably not great right now. I haven't looked at it yet, but to me, they have to, you know, over the final month of the season, and their chances of against Detroit are done, obviously. But to me, they need a couple quality wins to make you feel better about their chances in the playoffs. And their quality win opportunities are Minnesota and Seattle this week.
Rob,
does this week scare you, Rob?
You know, it does a little bit more than it did a couple weeks ago, because Seattle looks like they're playing a lot better, and you know, obviously, had a pretty good win yesterday. So, yeah, I think it should. And you know, going out there is never easy.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Okay, I lost my True Media login, so I can't figure out what the explosive plays are. Do you have any idea what the explosive play rankings are? I remember early in the season, maybe after the first quarter of the season, I believe the Packers led the league. But there has been a crap ton of games since then, and it doesn't feel like they have been as explosive as they were early on. Do you have any idea how the Packers rank in explosive plays?
Let's see how good I am at True Media really quick here. Explosive plays, what do we call rushing yards over 12 and receiving yards over 16? Is that what the usual definition?
Sometimes 20 for explosive, but let's go with 16 for funsies.
Oh, boy. Let's see if I can figure this out here. rank, explosive play rank. Boy, I'm terrible at reading this, but it looks to me like they are pretty far down the list. I don't know. I'm terrible at True Media. I should just give you my True Media login and.
I just need to put a little effort into it. If we're being honest, like I have the information somewhere, I just haven't put it.
When I did a search here, pass plays over 20 yards and rushes over 20 as well. They were top five in both, which changes obviously if you move it a little bit on those standards because some places do 15 for a rush.
I will say this: I did see in the game the other day one of stat from our ESPN Stats and Info people that. Jordan Love has the second most deep ball completions this season on balls thrown over 40 yards in the air.
Hey, and that's great news, right? Because that was something we talked about headed into this year that Jordan needed to be better at.
Well, Matt Bowen, our former player and works for ESPN now.
We brought this up with Chewy last week.
called Jordan Love the best deep ball thrower in the league when he ranked like, what did he rank? Like 120 different things that who's the best at this and the best at that, and Love was was way up there. He was number one. So he had the 59 yarder to Watson, had 42 air yards. Was Love's fourth completion of 40 air yards this season, tied for second most behind only Jaden Daniels.
All right, before we move on, I want to very quickly, you just mentioned the Bowen article. Dan Orlovsky also did some rankings, and he ranked Jordan Love and Romeo Doubs as the 15th NFL quarterback wide receiver duo. Does that seem about right to you? Is it even Romeo Doubs as their quote-unquote number one? But 15 is like middle of the pack. As one of the top teams in the NFC, that feels low. But again, maybe it's because they don't have a number one wide receiver.
I thought it might be lower, to be honest with you, because they just don't have the volume. And that, to me, that's what a number one receiver is. It's volume. Speaking of Dan Orlovsky, by the way, I was boarding my flight in Green Bay to go to Detroit last week, and there was some Packer fan sitting there, and he thought I was Dan Orlovsky. Just because my name's got a V-S-K-Y in it. I mean, I assume he knows I'm not a former NFL quarterback.
Were you wearing a hat?
No, I wasn't wearing a hat. I heard him say, "Hi, Dan." And I was like, "What?" And then I heard him whisper to his buddy, "That's Dan Orlovsky."
Is it Dan like 6'3"? 6'4". I could be underestimating Dan Orlovsky's height.
I mean, do I look? I could barely pass for a kicker.
I'm thinking of another Dan.
He's 6'5". That's amazing.
And he played in Detroit, right?
I don't know, man.
Did he play in Detroit?
I think he did. I believe, wasn't he a Lion when he stepped out of bounds?
Yeah, he was. That's right.
More importantly, do you correct someone if they call you by the wrong name?
So that's a great question because in college, so Robert is my real name, right? I hate Bob. Like, I've always hated Bob, which is why Aaron Rodgers called me Bob because he found out that I hated it. And I had a Spanish class in college. And the teacher called me Bob all the time. And like the first 3 weeks of the semester, I corrected her and it never stuck. And I would see people out about in town that were in that class. And even they called me Bob. Like I was walking down the street one day and some person calls me Bob, like thinking that's really my name. And my roommate was like, "What the heck was that all about?" And I'm like, "I've tried to correct this teacher and it doesn't work." So I basically have given up. I just nodded to the guy, whatever. I put my AirPods in and pretended like I didn't hear him.
See, that's tricky because there's a hierarchy there, right? The teacher and you, and the teacher sort of has control over your grade and maybe your livelihood in some way at that part of your life. But I'm telling you right now, somebody continually calls me by the wrong name, I'm getting in their face, especially if I've corrected them multiple times. Hey.
Don't mess with Julie.
Donkey. Yeah. I've told you my name is Jen, right? I've told you my name is Jen 6 times. It isn't sticking. What can we do to make it stick?
I don't know. It's a great question.
Well, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Dan Orlovsky joins us every Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What the hell? All right, Rob, have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, we'll see ya.
That is an egregious error.
Yeah, that's funny.
He might be right, though. It could be the skis. Domofsky, Orlovsky.
Yeah.
Both work for ESPN. Both covered the NFL. I guess. It's wow. Tis the season for celebrating at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Join them this holiday season for special events to get you in the festive mood. From a spectacular brunch with Santa to the holiday marketplace to one-of-a-kind dinner and a show experiences, St. Kate has a celebration happening nearly every week through the holiday season. Make a night of it and extend the experience by booking an overnight stay at St. Kate. Special packages are now available. Celebrate the holidays with St. Kate. Learn more by visiting stkatearts.com/holidays.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times. Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But I don't.
There was an incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Does Chewy have a legitimate gripe with The Cure and Depeche Mode cover bands being the same band in different costumes? 55% of people believe that you do have a legitimate gripe, buddy. You should really ask for your $10 back, which apparently was the gate. Okay. Should Chewy lose Don't Sleep on Privileges after telling us all year not to sleep on the 6-7 Atlanta Falcons? 49% of people say yes, your band. 51% of people say, nope, shooters got to shoot.
All right, 2 for 2. 2 for 2.
Will Aaron Rodgers be on an NFL roster next season? 71% of respondents are saying no, he's done. And by done, I mean totally done. No team or media outlet wants to touch that toxic material. That from Jay on the Twitter account. Will Dean Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody. We will see you again tomorrow.